We all know how painful breakups could be. How many of us have longed for one more night together? At Slugmag's anniversary localized, broken up local bands Beachman, Dream Slut, Purrbats, and Telepanther do just that. Reunited only on February 21st at the Urban Lounge, each band is stepping back on stage after being apart for too long. With doors at 8 p.m. and music at 9 p.m., this one-time-only reunion is just $5 at the door. Visit slugmag.com for more details on this show and learn more under our daily calendar tab.
It's what you pay me for.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. Howdy, I'm Kerber Isby. I sing and write with Purrbats, and we're going to be playing localized reunion show with a bunch of other cool bands on February 21st. Purrbats, I guess it's my brainchild, or brain fart. I've always driven it, the project, but it totally relies on the talents of other people and their very important input. For this particular show that we're going to be playing, the members will be Terrence Warburton, who's going to be playing some guitar, Dave Payne, I'm just used to calling him Painful, Jesse Winters, Durwood Ann, which is actually Darren Hutchinson, but another nickname that we have had for years, and Hallie of Hoofless will be filling on drums in a few songs. Enterprising, industrious, imaginative. Seduction by irrigation. When rattling down your roads, keep the red dirt on my boots, keep the red soil under my fingernails. I would describe Purrbats as inspired by late 70s and early 80s punk and new wave. Thrown in about anything you could think of, you know. Lots of experimental stuff, lots of quirky anything. We like a lots of dancey kind of elements to it, but in a spasmodic dancey way.
So you feel like a whale, beached in Salt Lake City, somehow stuck here and immovable and crushing under your own weight.
Growing up in Utah Valley in the early and mid 80s was a bonkers experience for sure. Particularly if you were gay, or if you were anything that strayed from the paths laid out by the LDS Church. And I had a lot of friends who weren't gay, but they were definitely queer. And they had rough times as well. From my personal experience, and I know, you know, chatting with friends and everything, they all had some similar experiences, that being gay, we grew up with a sense of pretty much worthlessness and a really strong sense of doom. In general, it was drilled into us that the apocalypse was basically upon us. So we'd go to firesides or whatever, and they'd always be saying, in heaven's time, it's 2 minutes to midnight. And midnight was when the whole world was going to be cleansed with fire. The righteous would be taken up off the world. World cleansed with fire, and all the sinners were going to be burned, and the world would be turned to glass, and then bring back all the righteous people. Except that I knew that there was something really deeply fundamentally wrong with me, and that I was going to be burned. I was going to see my family rise up. I was going to meet the flames of hell.
I can still feel a pulse, and you're stretched thin like a wire, conducting anxiety in waves. What are you so scared of?
So I grew up in a total state of panic. My mom would always be pressuring me to get my patriarchal blessing. And I refused. I was like, no, no. And she would always ask me why. I wouldn't explain to her, obviously. And in my mind, the way I saw it was that I would go and sit down in the church office or whatever, and these patriarchs would come at me, and they'd all go to lay their hands on my head, and then, like in The Wizard of Oz, when the Wicked Witch of the West goes for the ruby slippers on Dorothy, and they shock her, and she's, you know, she recoils back, and ah! I thought that's what would happen when all the patriarchs went to put their hands on my head. It would shock them, and then they'd know instantly, like, we've got a factor 10 homo here, and they would know all about the Jim Palmer underwear ads that I had been browsing, and all the older married men that I had the hots for. You know, that everything would come out, and they'd quarantine me, and it would shame, and I may as well be, as the famous thing that I guess people at BYU would be told sometimes, they would say, well, you'd be better off with a millstone around your neck at the bottom of a lake kind of thing. That's kind of where I felt, and where a lot of friends felt. Basically doomed, utterly doomed. That doom, I hate to say it, stays with me nowadays. Like, I always feel like the shit's coming down any minute, you know? You have to sort of develop your own coping mechanisms and try to train yourself to think otherwise. Because rationally, I can think, that's all horseshit. But it's the default setting. So fuck that. Obsessive, compulsive, and delusional. You become an ex-black hole. We stirred stuff up in Utah Valley, definitely, earlier on, but I hadn't full-on brought out the whole queer stuff until after I'd gone to Seattle. I got there like the same month that Nirvana became big with Smells Like Teen Spirit. So just at the end of the 91, or the end of the summer, 91, somewhere like that. Saw that it, you know, because in Utah Valley, being gay was, there were no positive reinforcements of being gay. You were doomed, you were vile, you were basically a criminal. Going up there and then discovering all of that, you know, that you could be treated like a human being. It wasn't that bad, and you could have a voice, you could have power, and you could fight back, and you could tell the police that they were wrong. You know, you saw some really, like, fierce, kick-ass gay people and fierce, kick-ass goth people. And, you know, Seattle was a quite a liberal town, and it was very active. And you could get active, and you could fight back. And that was a huge revelation. That's where, like, all of that pent-up sort of self-loathing and doom and apocalyptic everything and my rage towards the hypocrisy that I'd always seen just let loose, and it was a psychological landslide. So when I came back, that's how purity started. Made it really ugly. I wanted to be in people's faces. I wanted to, like, shake them up. I wanted to show their hypocrisy to them. I wanted to show what they were doing to their youth, you know? Like, oh man, just so much anger. Purbats basically is purity being more fun. So all of the trauma of the early Purdue and the, you know, psychological landslide aspect of it, that is mostly resolved. And so, as I said, now being sort of, you know, the old jaded troll, I can look back on it, I can chuckle, I can laugh and go, oh yeah, I got worked up over lots of things and whatever. And then Purbats is like to me, feels like the same thing, just funner. More. I don't know that there's a lot of trauma to Purbats. I've worked through the rage, and now I'm sort of exploring the absurdity, even the absurdity of the rage and the weird dynamic, which I can hate, but at the same time I love, you know. I'm seeing things from a whole different perspective now, and it's a lot more funny than it used to be. I don't have so much the urge to kick against the pricks or be in someone's face. There's a different way of connecting or trying to connect with people. But I think a lot of the elements are still the same. It's still, to me, it's, you know, sort of purity just processed. The song you're about to hear is a song called Sago Lily. It was originally done by Puridu, and we redid it with Purbats, and we like to play it live. It is a love song to Salt Lake City and Utah in general, and very much touches on weird folklore and the weird history of Salt Lake and Utah, and the weird love-hate relationship that at least I feel towards my Mormon upbringing, even though it was such a pain in the ass in so many ways. to look us up online, I would say best options are Purbats666 at Bandcamp or Puridoo666 at Bandcamp. Actually, probably just Google us and I think anything would come up. We will be playing with a bunch of other cool bands for the Slug Reunited Localized on Friday, February 21st, and it should be a whole lot of fun. Wear costumes. If you enjoyed this episode on Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.
No plans this weekend? Hit up Slug Magazine's daily calendar and never have another Friday night in.